ಧೃತರಾಜಭಯಃ ಕ್ರೋಧಃ ಮನ್ಮಯಾ ಮಾಮುಪಾಶ್ರಿತಾಃ ಬಹವೋ ಜ್ಞಾನ ತಪಸಾ ಭೂತಾ ಮದ್ಭಾವಮಾಗತಾಃ. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ 10th ಶ್ಲೋಕ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಡಿಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್. ಸೊ ವಿತ್ ದ 8th ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡೆಡ್ ದ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಅವತಾರ. ಅಂಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ 9th ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಆನ್ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಹಿ ಪಿಕ್ಡ್ ಅಪ್ ದ ಥ್ರೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಲೆಫ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ, ದ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಟೈನಿಂಗ್ ಮೋಕ್ಷ, ದಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಹೀ ಸೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ನೋ ಒನ್ ನೋಸ್ ದ ಟ್ರೂ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಅವತಾರ. ಯು ನೋ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ಲಿ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ who had seen that one who knows his own nature get moksha, that's what you know we said at that time. And later the Lord says the person who knows one's own nature, he also gets liberated. That's what he says. That means what? The true nature of oneself and the true nature of the Lord are both one and the same. So that for liberation we can either know a jiva truly or Ishvara truly. Any one of them is adequate, because true knowledge of jiva and true knowledge of Ishvara are one and the same. This was pointed out in the 9th shloka. And in the 10th shloka, Krishna gives the stages of the sadhana before coming to Ishvara Jnana. Before somebody should know what Ishvara is, what are the various requirements, what are the various stages. Ishvara Jnana definitely liberates the person, that is true, but it requires lot of initial preparation. And this shloka says, Vita Raga Bhaya Krodaha. Vita is told as it means free from. One should be free from all negative elements like Raga and Krodha and Bhaya. One should be free from all these things, and he has to surrender to me also. He should be free from all these. She should be able to surrender to me ultimately and keep only the Ishvara as the ultimate goal. Not anything else. He should be able to only keep me as the final goal. He should inquire into the true nature of Ishvara, and then he will be able to get liberated. And this process is called Jnana Yoga, as opposed to Karma Yoga. This is called Jnana Yoga. So we should purify ourselves through Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga in a Chitta Shuddhi. We should purify ourselves through Karma Yoga, and then we have to sharpen our focus through what? Through Upasana, through meditation. So we have to sharpen our intellect through upasana so that the mind doesn't waver. It will be concentrating on one goal, and finally one has to know the Ishvara through Jnana Yoga, through the path of knowledge. All these three things are essential. And all these are what they are. Each one of them is purifying the person to different extents. Karma Yoga, what it does? Karma Yoga, it is a purification to remove a person of all the raga dveshas, all the vasanas. So it purifies the person from raga dvesha. And upasana also is a purification only, which removes what? The extrovertness. The mind always oscillates, goes here and there, focuses them, introvert. So that's what it does. It also is a purification process where the mind gets purified from oscillation and then concentrates inward. And finally, the Jnana Yoga also is a type of purification. What it does? It removes the impurity of ignorance, namely ajnana. So all these three things, whether it is Karma Yoga, Upasana or Jnana Yoga, all three things are only purificatory, preparatory steps. These are our sadhanas. So once I am purified of all impurities, including ignorance, ajnanam, then I will know what Brahman is. So that is, I, the jiva, minus any kind of impurity listed above is equal to Ishvara. I, the jiva, minus impurities is Ishvara. That is the knowledge we should have. So, Pūtaha Madbhavam Agataha. Through purification, Pūtaha, through purification, they all attain Madbhava. Madbhava is my nature. They all attain my nature by purification through all these steps. That's what he told in the 10th shloka. Now, 11th shloka. We saw that yesterday.
Ye yata mam prapadyante.
Ye yata mam prapadyante.
ಮಮ ವರ್ತಮಾನುವರ್ತಂತೆ
ಮಮ ವರ್ತಮಾನುವರ್ತಂತೆ
मनुष्या पार्थ सर्वशः मम वर्तमानुवर्तन्ते मनुष्या पार्थ सर्वशः
Question will arise. Okay, Krishna has given this very nicely. Karma Yoga, Upasana, Jnana Yoga, all are very discrete, nice steps. So when this Marga is available, when these three steps are very nicely given by the scriptures, why is it that majority of the people do not follow it and get moksha? If you really know how many people really get moksha, you can count. The entire 5 billion people, how many really got moksha? If you really count, there are only few people who got the moksha. So there is this karma yoga to purify the mind, upasana to sharpen the intellect, and jnana yoga to get self-knowledge. And if everyone can attain this heart godhood as prescribed by any of these things, why is it people are not doing this? What is the problem that people have, they are not able to attain this? So Krishna uses the word in the previous shloka, he said, bahavaha, many people have attained this, that's what he says. Many people have attained it. But if you really compare the total population of the world, and see how many people really have attained this, it may be parts per billion or even trillion, we don't know. So only so many people have attained this, whereas there are so many people in the world. So when you count the jnanis, we may have a big list. There is Janakava, there I told so many things, you know, Ashwapadiva. So many people are jnanis, even in our own times we may have jnanis, but you can just count them compared to the total population. Actually, Krishna is going to say in the 7th chapter, Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kaschid Yadadi Siddhaye Yathatamapi Siddhanam Kaschid Maam Veti Tatvataha. Manushyanam Sahasreshu, among thousands and thousands of people, only one person, he wants to think of me. Among thousands and thousands of people, only one really wants to think of me. And among them also, among such people, rare people also, only a very, very, very few people really attain me. That's what Krishna says. He is going to say it in the seventh chapter. We are going to see it at that. So then Arjuna might wonder why people do not attain the Lord. That is a valid question Arjuna has. Is it because that God is impartial? He doesn't want to grant moksha to everybody. He has his own list, favored list. He wants always your short list, right? He wants to only favor only those people, because some people might say that God may be impartial. He may be partial. So, it's all God's will. He only decides who has to go to moksha or not. It's all not in my hand. It's all Ishvara Icha. I am only Nimitta, right? People always say, I am only an instrument in the hands of the Lord. It's all in His hand, right? And I have no control on that. And there are some people who say moksha is determined by the Lord. Okay. If that is so, then Bhagavan will certainly become, but he will become a partial Bhagavan. We cannot call him a total Bhagavan. He is only partial, because he only gives moksha to only partial people, not some people. So if he chooses only his bhaktas to give moksha, then what is the difference between a Lord and maybe some other political person, you know? His bhakta also, he gets a seat in medical college, right? His bhaktas. No. So if you say the Lord is impartial, then everyone should get moksha. Yeah, that day somebody was here in the class, he was asking, why God doesn't have compassion, right? Why you should punish it? He doesn't have to punish the evil ones. He is supposed to be compassionate. Right? So tell me why everybody is not getting moksha. That is the question of Arjuna. So Krishna says, everyone does not get moksha because everyone does not want moksha. Not that I don't want to give moksha to them. Everybody does not want moksha. Yesterday I told you in the last class, if Krishna comes here and says, he brings a big 747 plane, I am ready to take all of you in the plane, come to moksha. How many will go? So it is not my problem. Even now, I am willing to give 100% moksha to everybody. No problem at all. But you should seek. So I am very much interested in giving moksha to everybody. I don't want any recommendation from anyone. You can directly come. No problem at all. I will give you. But the problem is, you are not interested in gaining moksha. That is Krishna's argument. So they are interested in what? Artha. Even if you go to Tirupati, you stand in the line for maybe sometimes, you know, overnight, maybe a couple of days. And you have how much time to see the Lord? Maybe a few seconds. And during that few seconds, what do you ask Him? Moksha? Nobody asks moksha. He's stand for so many hours in the line, go to Tirupati, we don't ask moksha. Yes, that should be fulfilled. Some, we'll have all the list, big list, under this we always take there and present it to him. Except moksha, everything will be there. All artha kamas. That's what we do. Normally people only do that. So Krishna puts the total responsibility on us. On himself. He says, you ask, I will give you. I am waiting to open the doors for moksha for everybody. That's what I am waiting. But you should seek and you should come. You are not knocking at my doors. If you are knocking at every other door. You are knocking at every other door to get this artha, that artha. You want to get all those things. You are knocking at all those doors, but you are not asking for moksha at all. So he says, my job is very simple. Whatever a person seeks with proper efforts, I grant. That is my job. Because the entire Karmakanda Vedas I only wrote. And there I have told, if you do this karma, you will get this. If you do this karma, you will give putra kamesh yajna, that yajna, this yajna. You want this? I will give you that. If you seek that, I will give only that. I cannot give you what you have not asked. I can give you what you have asked. That's what he says. So put it in a different way. Whatever way the person worships me, I will bless that person in that way. That's what Krishna says. That means what? When a person does puja for getting wealth, then he is worshipping me as what? As the Lord of Prosperity. He is looking at me as only Lakshmipati. As a Lord of Prosperity he is worshipping. So I will give him what? Only wealth. Similarly, if a person worships me for land, or as a Kshetrapati, I will give him a lot of lands. No problem. Whatever he has, I will give. So he says, ye yatha mam prapadyante. In whatever fashion the people invoke me, they think of me, they worship me, in that very form, I bless them also. If they think of me as Kshetrapati, I will give him a lot of lands. As you know, Lakshmipati, a lot of lands. All those things I will give. And that is why, even if the Lord is only one in our religion, the Lord is given various forms. And for every form, there is a wife also. There is a Shakti. For each form, there is a power behind it, signified by the consort, the wife. So the Lord, thus he cannot be looked upon as the presiding deity of everything. So my job is what? I got whatever I seek. That's all. So whatever they have asked, I will give. Whatever they seek, I will give. And I know the other beings in life are only what? They are only finite. They don't know, but I know they are only finite. Dharma, artha, kama, all of them, they cannot give fulfillment. I understand. As the Lord, I know. But they don't understand. Land, dress, wife, husband, children, wealth, none of them can give moksha. That I know. But even though I know this, and moksha alone is the very best, still I cannot give this to them. Because what? Even if I give that, they will not take it. They will not take it. They will reject it because they don't understand how powerful is moksha. So this is the Lord's difficulty. He wants to give something good to us, but we don't want to take it from him. It is, for example, a mother, a small child is crying for a balloon. If you give a balloon to the child is very happy. My mother has $100. With that $100, you can buy how many number of balloons? You can buy thousands of balloons. But if you give the $100 bill to the child, will he take it? No, he will take only the balloon. So that's how we are all. So even if the Lord is willing to give us moksha, that Lord gets us to wealth, we are interested still only in the balloons. We are interested only in this benefit, this job, that job. That's all we still want. So the child will never be happy if the mother gives the $100 bill to the child instead of a balloon. In that stage, the people are all there. So that is why it is a predicament for me. I know very well this is not good for them. But still I cannot give because he doesn't know the value of that. He cannot understand what it means. So he says, ye yata ma prapadyante. Tale tata eva bhajami aham. I approach them only in that form. So in whatever form they worship me, I approach them only in that form. So partha, because sarvashaha manushyaha mama vatmaiva anuvartante. All the people are all following my track. And what is my track, my path? Actually, this can be interpreted in several ways. My path means the path leading to me. Me representing what? Ananda, bliss. So my path, they all follow. My path means what? They all want happiness. They all want ananda. Everybody wants, they are all in the pursuit of happiness only. Everybody wants only happiness. They all people knowingly or unknowingly, they all seek me only in the form of bliss, in the form of happiness, in the form of shanti. They all want, some people attain happiness through wealth. Some people may attain through some jap, sense organs, kama. Others seek it through dharma. So all these people, they want to ultimately get ananda. So through me, so they look through me as ananda. So even all these goals, they are different. Even through all of them, there is only one underlying goal. Means what? Happiness. They all want to gain happiness. So they all want to follow my path. They want to come to me. But they only do not know that God is ananda, and they think that ananda is all other things. That's what they think. They don't understand God is ananda. They think ananda is all other things. If I get this, I get this. If I get this, I get happiness. That's what they think. So this is one meaning of mama vartma. All people trek only because that is leading to me knowingly or unknowingly in the form of happiness. That is one way. Or if you want to think another meaning, actually, Ashwagandhacharya, he gives that. Mama Vartman is the Vaidika Marga. What is the way? The Marga is supposed to be the Vaidika Marga that is prescribed by me. So people, they all want to follow this Vaidika Marga. And in the Vaidika Marga, in the Vedic method, Bhagavan has given the means to achieve all types of acts. Whatever you want to seek, you can achieve. To get dharma, what you should do? A person has to do, certain things to get dharma. To get artha, material wealth, what he should do. Everything is to fulfill karma, what you should do. Everything is given in the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas. So Vedas, they are full of rituals, there are full of upasanas, and there are other methods to attain all these purusharthas. So dharma, artha, karma, and moksha, all the purusharthas, if somebody wants to seek, they are all given in the Veda mantras, they are given in the Vaidika Marga. And different people use different things. Somebody wants rain. Somebody wants, so he gets does the ritual for getting rain. It's all for large and good. People do that. And still it is Vaidika Marga. Because he worships through all the Vedic rituals. And another person, he wants to do good children, good progeny. Again what? Does this yajna, that yajna, do all these dharmic activities? Again it is Vaidika Marga. So that is also Vaidika Marga only. And some people want to get Swarga Loka. And there is one Nachiketa Agni. Actually, that Kathopanishad that I do, I will teach about that. So they want to do that particular ritual so that they can get Swarga Loka also. So they can do all those things. And some people want to do Vedanta Vichara to go to Moksha. And that is also what? Vaidika Marga. It is also given in the Jnanakanda portion of the Vedas. So people, so Mama Vartma here means it is Vaidika Marga. That is what Adi Shankaracharya he interprets. So people, whether they want Dharma Artha Kama or they want Moksha, they can pursue this any path that is given in the scriptures. All are prescribed by whom? By me, because Veda is given out by the Lord himself. And so there are means prescribed by me. When they make use of those sadhanas, what will I do? I have to certainly give them themselves. Because why I should give them results? It is prescribed by whom? I wrote the manual, and if you follow, I cannot say it won't work for you. Right? When the manual of Vedas is written by the Lord, it has to work for anybody. So the person who follows that manual and does some ritual for gaining something, it has to work for him. So because I wrote the manual, I wrote the Vedas, any method prescribed here, I should be able to offer it to them, so it should work for them. So because it is Mama Vartma, it is my book. It is my manual. My method they follow, and so I cannot escape from giving them. I will have to bless them with the respective result which I have given in these books. In Vedas I have written, in Karmakanda, if you do this ritual, you will get this. So when they do that, erroneously, without any error, I should be able to give it to them. And so when a person does karma, then I give not moksha palam to him, but I give karma palam. When they do karma, I give them karma palam. If they seek moksha, I give them moksha. So when a person does upasana, I give him the upasana palam. That's what I should give. And when a person attains jnanam, I give him jnana palam. Jnana palam is moksha. That's what I will give. So, ye yata mam prapadyante. Whether it is karma dwarava, upasana dwarava, or jnana dwarava, I should be able to give whatever they ask. So, karma, swarga palam, upasana, brahma loka palam, and jnanam will be moksha palam. I will give any of them based on what they ask. So, do not blame me. Do not say everything is in Lord's hands. It is not in my hands, it is in your hands. So he puts the entire responsibility on us. I have given you the book. You can follow. I have also given you what? The Viveka Shakti. I have given you that ability. So you should be able to know what is good and what is not good for you. And there is a manual to follow. If you follow it very well, you can get moksha also. So Mama Vartma means Vaidika Vartma. Then Anuvartante Manushyaha Ko Partha. Sarvashaha, by all means, they all follow this by all means, because that is what is given in my words through the Vedas. Kanchanta karmanam siddhim.
Kanchanta karmanam siddhim. Kanchanta karmanam siddhim.
Yajantaiha
devatah. Yajantaiha
devatah.
Yajantaiha devatah.
Kanchanta karmanam siddhim. Yajantaiha devatah.
Kanchanta karmanam siddhim. Yajantaiha devatah.
Kshipram hi manushe loke.
Kshipram hi manushe loke. Kshipram hi manushe loke.
Siddhir bhavati karmaja.
Siddhir bhavati karmaja. Siddhir bhavati karmaja.
Kshipram hi manushe loke. Siddhir bhavati karmaja.
Kshipram hi manushe loke. Siddhir bhavati karmaja. Kshipram hi manushe loke.
So here Krishna says, even though moksha phalam is supposed to be unlimited, still people go after karma phalam, which is very limited. So even though moksha phalam is unlimited, they don't see, they don't go after that, they go after karma phalam only, which is very, very limited. And what is the reason? He says, karma phalam is immediate. I do this work, immediately I get the phalam. So it is, relatively it is very quick, while jnana phalam is not like that at all. Because karma is what? It's a question of doing something. It's a question of doing, and when it is done, result will follow immediately. So that is the nature of karma. Well, for jnanam, you need to do lot of sadhana, lot of preparation is needed. Once jnanam is attained, there is no time required for jnana phalam. That is the only beauty of jnana. It takes lot of time to gain jnanam, but the moment you get jnanam, phalam is immediate. Jnanam itself is phalam, moksha. Whereas in karma, you have to do a lot of preparations to do the karma, and result also may not be that immediate. It's not just immediate like jnana. The moment you gain jnana, moksha is immediate. Whereas here it's not that way. But getting the jnana is not easy at all. It's a very, very difficult task. In fact, getting jnana is also easy, but getting the fitting mind, the qualification to gain jnana, that is the most difficult. Once you gain the qualification to gain jnanam, the sadhana, chatushtaya, sampatti, if you have that, jnanam will be quick. But that to gain, that is very difficult. Vairagyam is very, very difficult to get. So we always keep on holding on to things. Cumulative attachment to things. Always. You don't discard anything at all at home. There will be still things which you will be sitting for 45 years, still will be there. The class that you don't want to discard is there. Maybe my grandchild will use it. We don't want to get it up there. Actually, Jatapratha's story, you know, he's a great king. He left everything. He left everything and went to do tapas. And he's sitting there. He left no connection with the world at all. Good. He's not doing tapas. What happens? A pregnant deer crosses the small stream. And in the process, it dies and it gives birth to a small fawn. And this man looks at it. Oh, there's a small fawn. The mother is dead. Who will take care of this? So he brings that fawn and he now tends to care for that small fawn. Every concentration goes to only feed this fawn now. In no time you get attachment without your knowledge. So just like that, because that is the nature of karma. It can immediately bind you. Very quickly it can bind you. So all the other things get focused only to this small deer now, because he thinks he is the only support for that deer. That's what he thinks. He developed association with that, bandhavyam, all those things happen and he becomes attached to that. So vairagyam is very, very difficult to get. To get dispassion is very tough. Then they talk about shama, they cut up about dhamma, all the sense control, mind control, all those things are very, very difficult. Because everything comes and knocks. Even I don't want to see things, they are there. I cannot shut my eyes and walk on the streets. I have to open my eyes and walk, and everything is presenting itself there. So not to get tempted is very, very tough job. So this mind control, sense control, they are all very, very tough things to do. So raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, all those things are very, very difficult to conquer. I cannot do that very easily at all. So all the samadhama, they are all very difficult. So the palam we get out of is not also tangible. Okay, by mind control, what palam I am getting? Can I find out what palam I am getting by mind control right now? No, it is not tangible to me. Whereas if I work very hard, I get a promotion, tangible. If I work very hard, I make more money. So for all that thing there are tangible results, whereas for all these things sadhanas, there is no tangible benefit at all, immediately tangible to me. So by all these things, for practicing the values, for becoming mature, we don't find tangible results at all. At best people may say, he is a good man. That's all they will say. What best is that for you? Oh, he is a good person. That's what they will say. That's it. So majority of the people, that is why they value only karma. They don't go to jnanamata, they value karma. Work very hard and earn. As much as you work hard, you will get, you know, more benefits out of that. So at least you can maintain your status in society. At least in the neighborhood, you can still be a neighbor. Otherwise they will say, oh, this is, oh, in that house, you know, lawn never they cut. I don't know why these people keep the lawn so bad. All these things will come with the neighbors because you are not making your status on par with them. So you work hard, you make more money, and you try to maintain your status. So they think that is the status. So all kinds of funny ideas we get, and ultimately we vote for what? Karma and the karma phalam, because they are tangible. And so people generally, all these values and all those things, they consider as useless. They don't have any tangible benefit. So Krishna says, karmanam siddhim kankshantaha. Most of the people they desire only karma phalam. Karmanam siddhi, only karma phalam, which is very visible. Siddhim, paspalam, siddhim is phalam. What do they do? Yajante iha devataha. They worship various deities, which will give me this and that. So they worship various deities. So remember, it is not many gods actually, but puts as the presiding deity. He puts himself as the presiding deity of various worldly yams. I want this, I want that, I go to this deity, I go to that deity, I will get this, I will get that. So Kshetrapati, Arogyapati, Dhanapati, depending on that, whatever you want, you worship that deity. So the presiding deity for all the lands, presiding deity for all the wealth, presiding deity for all the health, you worship Dhanvantri, you go and worship Dhanvantri, because he is the presiding deity for wealth, health. So people, depending on what they want, they worship all these devatas, they forget me, the total. They don't worship me, the total. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna represents what? He is the presiding deity of moksha. So Krishna is the presiding deity of moksha, whereas all the other deities are presiding deities by some portfolio. Right? So he will, actually Krishna, he will be talking throughout Bhagavad Gita in that language only, as if he is the presiding deity for moksha. And all other deities, they are the presiding over separate portfolios like Dharma, Artha, Kama, all those things. So because actually it's a very, very important point in Bhagavad Gita that we should keep in mind, that Krishna represents the presiding deity of moksha. Worship of other deities, they mean what? They are seeking all other things like Dharma, Artha and Kama. Worshipping other deities means seeking those things. Worshipping Krishna means seeking moksha. That is how he presents himself. So this is the state of the entire Bhagavad Gita. For example, but in each Purana it will be like that. If you read Shiva Purana, how it will portray? Worshipping Shiva will go to moksha. If you worship all other deities, it will give something else. So this is the Stuti Ninda, Ninda Stuti in Sanskrit. So by praising one, that doesn't mean you are not praising the other. This is unique. That's what you mean. So that the other one, in the, if you go to Devi Bhagavatam, Devi is ultimate. That's what they will say. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is ultimate. So Ganapati Puranam, Devi Bhagavatam, all those things they say. So what is important is not the deity you worship, but what is important is how do you look upon that deity. If you think Krishna as the mokshadayaka, the one who gives moksha, you worship him that way. So if the deity is mokshapati, he will be moksha. So he says, seeking worldly ends, they worship all the other deities, seeking all these other things. Therefore, devataha iha. Iha means aspin loke, in this world, in this manusha janma, it is a very, very rare janma they got. They all have got a very rare janma, but what they do? They waste all their time. They are all very religious people, no doubt. They are all astikas. They are all going to all these temples, bhaktas, do all these things, but what they do? They waste all their time praying for this and that, which are worldly acts. As I told, going to Tirupati, standing in line for 2 days, for the two seconds, they cannot ask for moksha. They will ask only for some, they will have some goal. If I have got this thing, I will also, you know, tonsure my head and come there. And all that. Right? That guy has a lot of business. And Tirupati Mota, they normally say, you know, he has so many people waiting in line. He doesn't want to leave you. So you know, he wants to leave your business, doesn't want to leave your business. So he will half cut, half head a bit. And you will be sitting. The other day comes. Because big business. So, because why? We do not understand what is the ultimate goal for which we have taken this human janma. Human janma alone will give moksha. All other janmas will not give moksha. Only human janma alone you can get moksha. And we are not taking heed of that. We are looking at all other things. And what is the reason? Krishna says, karma jasiddhihi kshipram bhavati. Because the phalam, the result, born out of karma, becomes kshipram, quickly. Very quickly it comes. When I do karma, I get quick result. So, instantly. Because in doing karma, you are not asked for character. You have to understand this very clearly. For doing a karma, do somebody ask you, are you a good person? No. You go and do sankalpa here to the priest. You got something, your birthday or something, or you are doing a sankalpa, you want to do a puja to gain some promotion or something. He asks your name, gotram, nakshatra, all that thing. Does he say, are you a good person? Does he say, do you have these values? Do you have shama, dama, uparama, titiksha? Do you have? He doesn't ask all those questions. So you pray for this, you get. Whereas for jnanam, all these things are required. If they are not there, you cannot get jnanam. So karma is easy path. Where I can get quick result, nobody asks me about my character. Nobody asks me about my values. I can get all these things without going through any of those rigor at all. Because in Karma Kanda, the scriptures do not emphasize character. They always say you should be a good person and all. That is general. Samanya dharmas, it is telling for everybody. That they will tell for everyone. But by doing this particular dharma, certain things they will ask, certain purifications they will ask. They are not going to emphasize on all these values. So, karmaja siddhihi, the result born out of karma is kshipram, is instantaneous. It is very quick. Manushe loke in manushe loka. In this janma, that is very quick. And so, he uses the word manushe loke because humans alone have got karma adhikara. Only human janma alone, they have got the ability to do karma. Among all living beings, manushya alone can think. Manushya alone can choose and he can do action keeping a goal in view. Only humans can keep a goal in view and do action based on that. It is not possible for any other living thing. If you take, for example, a dog. Does a dog have a goal? You can train a dog to have a goal. That is your goal. You can train, right? You put a balloon with some ball there. That's the goal for the dog. It will go and get it. But whose goal it is? It is your goal, not the dog's goal. So the animals don't have their goals, only humans have their goals. Humans only can know what their goals are. So it can an animal cannot have dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all these things as goals at all. Purusharthas are only purusharthas, not for animal arthas. They are purusharthas. Right? So we can never have purusharthas for all those animals, only for manushya. So manushya eva karmani adhikritaha. So and for Krishna says, manushya loke karmaja siddhim kshipram bhavati. And therefore what? Many people, they vote for what? Vote for karma alone and moksha seekers are very, very few. People who really want moksha are only few in number. So, there is as I told, if Bhagavan makes an announcement, I will give moksha instantaneously to all the people, nobody will be takers. They will immediately question you, give me your identity. are you qualified to give moksha? Who are you? We have a lawyer to talk to you. All those questions we have said. So, everybody has a problem. So, people will give some excuse or the other to avoid moksha. So, Krishna says, do not blame me, blame only yourself. If you are not getting moksha, not that I didn't want to give, you didn't ask, you didn't seek, you didn't go after that.
Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam.
Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam.
Gunakarma vibhagashah.
Gunakarma vibhagashah.
Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam. Gunakarma vibhagashah.
Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam. Gunakarma vibhagashah. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam. Gunakarma vibhagashah.
Tasya kartaram api mam.
Tasya kartaram api mam. Tasya kartaram api mam.
Vidya kartaram avyayam.
Vidya kartaram avyayam. Vidya kartaram avyayam.
Tasya kartaram api mam. Vidya kartaram avyayam.
ఆర్ ఆల్ ఫాలోయింగ్ మై మార్గ, మై పాత్ ఓన్లీ, వైదిక మార్గ. He called it Vaidika Marga, and therefore whatever karma they do, I have to give the results to them because it is prescribed by me. I told them, this karma you do, this result you will get. Then the question naturally will be, what exactly is the Vaidika Dharma? Right? He said, that is the Vaidika, my path is the Vaidika Marga. That's what Krishna said. Then we will ask the question, what is Vaidika Marga? You ask me to follow this Marga, what is Vaidika Marga? That question people will ask. So Krishna says here, చాతుర్వర్ణ్యం మయా సృష్ట. దిస్ ఈస్ ఎ వెరీ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ అండ్ అ కాంప్లికేటెడ్ శ్లోక. వి విల్ టేక్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ శ్లోక. చాతుర్వర్ణ్యం మయా సృష్ట. ద మెయిన్ వైదిక మార్గ ఈజ్ సపోజ్ టు బి వర్ణ అండ్ ఆశ్రమ ధర్మ. దాట్ ఈస్ వైదిక మార్గ. వైదిక మార్గ ఈస్ ది వర్ణ ఆశ్రమ ధర్మ. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ దాట్ ఈస్ ది వెరీ వెరీ ఫౌండేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద హోల్ వేదిక్ టీచింగ్. The entire Vedic teaching is based on this dharma only, varna ashrama dharma. It's a very, very important concept, very unique in our tradition. But unfortunately, the type of society we have today that has become so complicated, completely so different from the original Vedic context, from the original context based on which this varna ashrama was prescribed. From that we have deviated so much, and today it has become so complex, so everything has got mixed up so much today. So the Vaidika Marga does not exist at all today. So whatever we are going to explain today is not Vaidika Marga at all, because Vaidika Marga doesn't exist today at all in that sense. It is very, very difficult follow, very difficult to follow also, but at least we should know what context this shloka arises, this particular shloka. So Varna and Ashrama Dharma, of which Ashrama Dharma Krishna has talked about it earlier. We have seen in the previous chapters where we saw that there are four ashramas. There are four ashramas. What are those four ashramas? Brahmacharya ashrama, grahastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, and sannyasa ashrama, that we have seen earlier. So the initial ashrama is the brahmacharya ashrama, where the person is separated from the family and society. The child goes from home, separated from the family and society, goes to a teacher's home and stays in gurukulavasam and tries to learn from the teacher. He is trained living in a gurukulam. Because if he does not know how to live and exist in society, he becomes what? A problem to the society. So the person first has to know what is, how he has to conduct himself in the society. He does not know how to otherwise run a family. So he is taught all these dharmas, the values and the scriptures, everything in a teacher's place, in a gurukulam. So he will know how to, you know, treat his wife, how to treat children, how to conduct himself in the world, how to earn money, all those things. Actually, in our sampradaya, it's a very beautiful concept. People don't may not understand all this. In our marriages, there is one thing called Kashi Yatra. Kashi Yatra, you know, we are all South Indian marriages, I don't know about Maharashtrian marriages. Kashi Yatra is one particular step. In that thing, what happens is, the boy who is to marry, he is supposed to do some pratham and all that thing. And then he has to go to Kashi. And the way they conduct the marriage these days is, don't go to Kashi, I'll give my daughter in marriage to you, or you don't have to go to Kashi. That's what the girl's father says, and then retells him. That is how they present it. But the meaning is not that. The way they do that is, a person is supposed to learn all the Vedas, scriptures and all in the Gurukulam, in the teacher's place. But he has been only a bookworm, right? He has only learned from the teacher. He might have given him errands, this and that and all, but limited to his ashrama. But his own hermitage, that's what he has done. This guy doesn't know the world. So a person who doesn't know the world, the girl's father will not be confident to give his daughter away in marriage to this guy. He doesn't know the world at all. How he is going to maintain a family? So what the teacher says, now you have learned all these things, you have to interact with the world, go to Kashi, look at all those great scholars there and learn life more. Now if he has to go all the way from his hermitage to Kashi is a very, very tiring big trip. So you go there, learn all these things from them, come back. And then when he comes back, this person, he would have finished all the four Vedas or whatever it is. Then he has a snanam, he takes a snanam, then he is called a snata. So normally people will say, oh, there is a snata available in that house. Means what? There is an eligible bachelor available in that house. This guy has completed all the training. He has gone to Kashi. He has learned all that thing. Now he is a snata. Now that boy is eligible, you can consider giving your daughter to him. So that is this Kashi Yatra and all these things, but it's all changed now. So in the teacher's place, he learns the world, he learns scriptures, he learns how to conduct life, all those things he is doing. then this person is prepared to become an ideal member of a society by marrying and becoming a grahastha. This is how that I am telling what the Vedic intent is. Do not get confused about how it is practiced today. Don't worry about it. Forget today. How the scriptures are telling, that's what we are telling now. So we are not questioning about how it is being practiced today at all. So once he reaches this cultured stage, then he takes up to grahastha. He gets married and he becomes this thing. And he has, then only he has got the opportunity to follow the Vedic rituals. There are a lot of karmas prescribed in Vedas that can be done by a grahastha only. So he is helping the society, he is feeding the poor, he is taking care of brahmacharis, he is taking care of the sannyasis. He has got a lot of responsibility. Grahastha ashrama is a very tough ashrama and the most important ashrama among the four ashramas. Because it not only helps the brahmacharis, it also helps the sannyasis, it maintains the real fabric of culture in a society. That's the grahastha ashrama. So there are so many other things are done. Most of the sadhanas can be practiced what? In the grahastha ashrama. Or they can be practiced only in the grahastha ashrama. What they do in the process, this guy gets polished. He gets to be patient. Because he has to deal with children, he has to deal with people, he has to deal with neighbors, he has to deal with bosses, he has to deal with everything. So he gets molded. It is like, you know, if you see the Shivalingas, we normally get a Narmada Linga, a stone that comes from the Narmada river bed. What happened to it? It has been rolling so much over and over and over again, it becomes completely polished and beautiful Shivalinga it becomes. And that you come and do Pratishtha in the temple. So this is a Narmada Linga. It gets polished. So by getting beaten up in society, every time, every problem, so many confrontations, all these things happen, this guy gets slowly molded. He gets to be patient, he gets to know how to conquer anger. Many people don't do it even at night, that's a different thing, but generally they do all that things. So it is a tapas. Being in a grahastha ashrama itself, successfully leading a grahastha ashrama life is a tapas. So this guy gets molded to that because all these kama krodhas have to get out of the mind for him to become an adhikari to gain jnana. What is the goal? Not the ashrama. Moksha is the goal. These are all training grounds. So in grahastha ashrama, he gets more opportunity to get molded, to get rid of all these atma shatrus which are all the kama krodhas. Right? He gets that. Then he goes to vanaprastha ashrama. Vanaprastha ashrama what? His involvement with the family and the worldly activities are reduced to a great extent. He doesn't have to go into a forest. He can stay in the house itself, but driver is the children. So he's not driver anymore. The children are the driver. He will be there. So many times there will be arguments. You just sit in the place. You don't be judgmental of anything. That's a very tough thing to do. Believe me. It's extremely tough thing to do. You cannot dissociate yourself from what the children do. You think that is not logical, but if you go and poke your nose, you know what. Next morning coffee will not be available to you. So this is the problem. So how to still be detached and stay in the family life? Very tough. So that is why they made it at a later stage. After going through all the dens of the grahastha ashrama, this guy now might have perhaps learned what life is. So he knows how to keep himself secluded. So living like a sannyasi in your own house, very difficult. But one has to practice to do that because you know very well. Now you are at the later quarter or whatever it is of your life. At that time, they are the drivers. What you went through, they are going through. Right? You went through all that. So they are going through that thing. It is going to mold their life. At that time, if you are not sought for an opinion, better? I had a friend. He is a very good friend. He's a nice person. A very highly respected person also. And his son, he got married to a Christian girl. So he came and told father, dad, all these things, and said, you know, I'm marrying this girl, whatever it is. And father said, are you giving me an information or are you giving me an opinion? Asking for opinion. If it is information, bless you. Opinion, I will tell if you are willing to listen. Or son said it's information, dad, bless you, no problem. It's information. You cannot do anything. So what problem is, one should be able to practice that. That is very, very tough because emotions are there, attachment is there. You cannot detach yourself from the relationship of your son and your daughter. So they will be there. So how to stay detached That is Vanaprastha Ashrama. One has to practice that. So a person has to go through that as another stage. That is for concentrating at that time upasana. At that time, you meditate upon only higher things. Leave this practice, this world. Look upon higher things. What is next for me? How can I achieve the goal of my life? How I can gain shreyas? That is what you should think. Not all these day-to-day affairs the family is going through. Let them go through it. That is that turn. My turn is over. That's what one should think. So I have developed attachment to detach also. I should do it gradually. That is where they made these stages. And then at Vanaprastha Ashrama, you detach yourself by separating yourself from family and society. So preparing for that separation, that person, he learns to detach very, very gradually. Preparing them. So he has to do that. So Vairagyam and Upasana are strongly practiced in the Vanaprastha Ashrama. That's what he is doing. Then comes the culmination in the form of what? Sannyasa Ashrama. Sannyasa Ashrama, which cuts the individual totally. The individuality totally is cut. All relationships are completely severed. It can be a sannyasi, you can take akar robes and go somewhere and live. Or you can be a grahastha sannyasi. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to take sannyasa ashrama at all. You don't have to wear akar robes. But totally be detached in the same home. Nothing wrong. One can do that also. So vairagyam is complete. And by upasana he has attained the sharpness of mind. Raga dveshas have been reduced to a very, very significant extent. And that person now becomes sadhana chaturthaya sampannaha. Becomes an adhikari for jnanamarga. So that is how a person, so that is how they establish these stages of life. This all this brahmacharya ashrama, grihastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama. Because it is not just only for the individual, it is for the entire society. Because society, you are not alone in the society. You should always be part of a society. You should be able to serve the society. So in the process, you do good to yourself, you do good to others also. That is how our tradition made, the entire way of living, they formulated it. So nicely it is all formulated. So he becomes sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. So in sannyasa ashrama, that person can do Vedantic study, jnana yoga. So grihastha ashrama, karma yoga. Vanaprastha ashrama, upasana. And sannyasa ashrama, jnana yoga. As I told you, sannyasa ashrama doesn't mean you have to wear akar robes. You can be in the house and lead a life of a sannyasi. No problem at all. Detached from everything. So all the four ashramas, they all contribute to the growth of the individual and to the society also. Implied. When you generate good citizens, your society is a good society. That is it. So a person need not have to go through all the four ashramas also physically, but mentally he can go. A brahmachari need not have to marry, he can go directly from that to Vanaprastha Ashrama. No problem at all. Because it is only in the mind, how he cultivates the frame of mind. So even if the person avoids Grihastha Ashrama initially, it is better to live in society. He cannot get out of the society because that society molds you. You interact with people, you interact with situations, that molds you, that prepares you, that makes your mind stronger, it minds more refined. You become a Samskrita Purusha, a refined person in that process. So he should live in the society for some time, for getting this maturity, and he can then follow Vanaprastha Ashrama later, no problem. Marriage is not compulsory in that sense. So whatever serves through the marriage, the person can gain by serving the society and be a part of the society and be a good citizen. So similarly, sannyasa ashrama also is not, it's only a mental state. You don't have to be a physical sannyasi. It doesn't have to be physically taken. So it can be mentally a person can prepare yourself. So remaining the family itself, the person should learn how to live a secluded life like a sannyasi. So what is important is mentally the person should be able to go through all the four ashramas. There is no choice. So that's what I'm telling. We have to go through all the four ashramas without any choice mentally. So that means a person can grow now very spiritually to get the ultimate knowledge, ultimate jnana. So this is ashrama dharma in a nutshell, that we have seen that in various occasions in so many ways. This ashrama. Now Krishna does not talk about ashrama dharma in this shloka. So we said Vaidhika marga means varna ashrama dharma, and in that ashrama dharma is not being talked in this shloka. So we have already mentioned about ashrama dharma as given earlier. Now what is talked in this shloka is the varna dharma. So varna ashrama is the Vaidhika dharma. Ashrama is now talked about already. Now we are going to talk varna dharma in this particular shloka. In the Puranas, in the Smriti Granthas, in Bhagavatam, etc., it is all discussed very, very elaborately about the varna dharma. It is discussed very elaborately there. So we have got four varnas. the Brahmana, the Kshatriya, Vaishya, and the Shudra. These are the four Varnas. I'm not telling Jati or caste. I'm telling Varnas. And this alone Krishna is indicating here in this particular shloka. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam. The categorization of all the four Varnas is done by whom? Maya srishtam, by me only. I categorize society into four Varnas. So this is not some man-made thing. This is the Lord has categorized. That means in Vedas it is there. Vedas have categorized the society into four Varnas. The interesting thing is, we have four Varnas in the human society. Among Devas also there are four Varnas. The Devas also there are Brahmanas, there are Kshatriyas, there are Vaishyas, there are Shudras among Devas, among the Navagrahas. All the nine planets. Some of them are Brahmanas. Guru, Brahaspati is Brahmana. Shani, Shudra. Surya, Kshatriya. So all these things, there are Varnas in among the Devatas also. So the Varnas are there in any society, whether it is human society or Deva society or Asura society. Asura Guru, Shukracharya, Brahmana. Ravaneshwara, Brahmana. He is a king, not a Kshatriya, he is a Brahmana. By birth he is a Brahmana. So there are, among Asuras there are these Varnas, among Devas there are Varnas, among Manushyas there are Varnas. Okay, this is decided by the Lord. Because Lord decided, Lord created everything. Deva, Asuras, Manushyas, everything created by Lord. So every society, he made this Varna. So he says, Chaturvarnyam, Maya Srishtam, they were done by me only. So Ashrama and Varna, both are done by the Lord. That we have, it is not man-made, it is done by the Lord. That's what it is. And what are the four Varnas? The Varnas are based on social status. The responsibility in society. In society, according to the status, it is divided into four. Into the function, it's a work function. Divided into four. Ashrama is according to the stages of life. This is status in society. Stages of life, Brahmacharya stage, Grahastha Ashrama stage, Vanaprastha stage, and Sannyasa, they are stages. This is status. So, Varna is according to the status in society, the type of role a person plays in society. That is called Varna. So, literally Varna means color. Varna in Sanskrit means color. So, here it is the type of person or people. And Krishna says, this is also created by me. This is not a human origin, man-made. But this should be understood actually properly, because the Varnas are said to be four, known as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. But even though we talk about four Varnas, they themselves can be based on three different factors. This is where now complication comes. We talk about four Varnas, but each Varna can be dependent on three factors. And what are those three factors? This is it will become complicated. A Varna based on Guna, a Varna based on Karma, a Varna based on Janma. So a Varna, if a Brahmana, it can be based on Guna, the quality, the Karma, the function, or the job, and Jati, the Janma, the birth. So there can be three factors for each one of them. Okay, so now, for example, if you Varna based on Guna, Guna means Gunataha Varnaha. For example, Guna, attitude or character. Then Karma, based on Karma, the profession, it's division of all the four Varnas based on the Gunas. Now finally, Varna based on, again, birth or Jati. But are one and the same, because Jati Vibhaga, that alone is what is notoriously today called as the caste system, the Jati Varna. Today is called Jati system. So now we will see one by one now in some detail. Now Guna Vibhaga. Now we said we can separate this into three Vibhagas. Guna Vibhaga, Karma Vibhaga and Janma Vibhaga. Now if you take Guna Vibhaga, a person who is sattvic in Guna, that means very virtuous person, very sattvic person in character or in aptitude, that person is called Gunataha Brahmana. So a Brahmana, any person, who is very sattvic in character, regardless of caste. Any person who is very sattvic in character, that person is called Gunataha Brahmana. He is a Brahmana by Guna. Regardless of whatever birth he has. Regardless of birth, if the person has sattvic character fully, he is called Gunataha Brahmana. So, this person is what? So, Sattva, Raja and Tam. So, Sattva Guna is predominant, Raja Guna is very less, Tamo Guna is very, very less. That person is Guna Brahmana. Definition. So, now, the next guna is what? If I take a Kshatriya person, this person is predominantly Rajasic. He is predominantly Rajasic, very, very highly active type, but the rajoguna of him is supported by selflessness. A kshatriya, he is very, very rajasic, very active person, but that active nature of him is supported by sattvic nature. He is a very, very selfless worker. Rajasic, very selfless person, and that is because what? Rajoguna is predominant, but it is backed by sattvaguna in him. Okay? So he is a kshatriya, and that person is called a guna kshatriya. The other one is called guna brahmana, who is predominantly sattvic. This person is predominantly rajasic, but backed by sattvaguna, he is called a kshatriya, guna kshatriya. Now, there is a guna vaishya. This person is also very rajasic. He is also very active. He is all doing this business, that business, traveling from this country to that country, all that he does. But what is his attitude? He is all doing all this with a selfish motive. The other way, guna kshatriya did with a selfless motive. He wants to protect the country. He wants to protect the poor. He wants to protect all sadhus. Guna kshatriya. Whereas this person does all these nice things, rajasic, but with a selfish motive, I will become rich, I will become the richest person here, I will get this name, I will get this fame, all that thing is this. So this person's rajasic quality is not backed by sattvic quality, it is backed by tamasic quality. So he is called guna vaishya. So now we got guna brahmana, guna kshatriya and guna vaishya, and the person who is fully tamasic in mind, who is predominantly tamasic, no trace of sattvic character at all. Maybe some rajasic here and there. That person is a shudra. Guna shudra. So based on gunas, now we got guna brahmana, guna kshatriya, guna vaishya and guna shudra. Based on these three gunas, that is sattva guna, rajo guna and tamo guna. Sattva guna purely is brahmana. Rajo guna, if it is selfless, is kshatriya. If it is selfish, vaishya. Tamo guna predominant is shudra. So this is guna vibhaga. Based on vibharna divided based on guna. So, gunataha, we have got guna brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya and shudra, and this is irrespective of janma. That is to be understood very clearly. Regardless of birth, regardless of religion, regardless of geography, he can be a Christian, he can be a Muslim, he can be origin by whatever the definition we have, does not matter. He can be a guna brahmana if that person is sattvic in character. Right? That is very unique of our religion. So, the whole world can be seen into guna brahmana, guna kshatriya, guna vaishya and guna shudra. The whole world can be seen, not just only people born in Bharatavarsha. The whole world can be classified like that. This is one type of division, purely internal, and it is not an external division at all. Guna is internal. Right? My quality is internal. Now, four varnas, then based on the profession, irrespective of character or birth. So, that is the next division. So, Krishna is going Chaturvarnya Maya system, guna karma vibhaga saha. So guna and karma vibhaga he is talking. So we are now looking at the guna vibhaga and karma vibhaga. Now here he is telling four varnas based on the profession irrespective of a character or the birth of a person. So we are independently, actually we have to understand. Guna based brahmana kshatriya vaishya is over now. Now we are looking at, so we should not erase it from your mind. Now we are now looking at karma based system. Okay, so don't mix up that in this. Now, karma based system. So, first we saw the four varnas, they are irrespective of birth and profession also. Now, second division is irrespective of birth and character, but by profession, this division is made. We call somebody karma brahmana, karma kshatriya, karma vaishya, and karma shudra. Who are those people? A karma brahmana is one who takes to the profession of religion, culture, education, all those things, dharmic things that he used to. Even art, music, fine arts, they are all highly intellectual. So any job that is done only to address the intellect of a person, they are all called karma brahmanas. Okay. So where the maximum role is played by the heart and the head. They are the players. For doing any activity, they are doing through their heart and through their head. So these are all people, they are all always internally oriented, they are all introverts and they are not very extroverts. So all the sciences, philosophy, all those things which are all arising out of lot of intellectual analysis, and they are all people karma brahmana type. So by profession, they are all karma brahmanas. And a karma kshatriya is intellectual, all right, but externally oriented. This man is intellectual but internally oriented, whereas the Karma Kshatriya is externally oriented, does lot of good to the people, he serves the society, does lot of social service, engage in lot of public life, active life, all Karma Kshatriyas. Lot of self service. And Karma Vaishya, he is also active, he works also a lot in the society, but expects something to be repaid for himself or more. He will donate a tube light, and what he will do? He will write in the entire length of the tube, donated by so and so, the entire tube light will be hidden now. He has given a tube light for the temple. Tube light is written, so nice, very nice of him. But tube light is full of written, you know what, his name only everywhere, from this village, the postal code, phone number, everything. You see all these people, right, in society. So he does some good thing also, but at the same time requires all these things. So he is Karma Vaishya. And the Karma Shudra, he is a labor class, one who is more physically oriented. All physically oriented, less led and less heart. So, but they are also required in society, because who will till the soil otherwise to get your rains? So somebody is required for us to do that job also. They are Karma Vaishya. There is no gradation in all of them. Understand that clearly. There is no gradation here, but we are only classifying. We are only categorization, no gradation. So Gunataha, there are four Varnas. So Karmataha, there are four Varnas. Right? All these things. So Guna, Karma, Vibhaga. And the last one is Jatitaha. Krishna is not mentioning it here, but I will say why he doesn't have to separately mention during the discussion. So Jatitaha means four Varnas, based on Janma, birth. Four Varnas based on birth. So here we have to, you know, very, very careful again, not to mix up with the other two now. This is based on Janma, separate topic, purely based on Janma. So when we divide, we have Jati Brahmana, Jati Kshatriya, Jati Vaishya, and Jati Shudra, which is the same as Janma Brahmana, Janma Kshatriya, Janma Vaishya, Janma Shudra. That is the division. Now that we have seen that all these three, a single person may be, this we understand easily, a person who is born in a Brahmin family is called a Janma Brahmana. Who is born in a Vaishya family is called Janma Vaishya. So there is no description in that, it's just a straight thing. No guna or anything coming in that, just only a birth. Okay. Now, all the three we have seen now, a single person may be a combination of all the three. How he can be? He can be a Brahmana, he can be a Kshatriya, he can be a Vaishya. From different angles. How a person can be a Janma Brahmana. He may be born to a Brahmin family. But he may be doing all business work. Then Karma Vaishya. It can be a Karma Kshatriya also. So he may, many of us who have come here, we are working in all these lobbies and this blah blah blah, this business, that business. There may be Janma Brahmanas, but there may be Karma Vaishyas or Karma Kshatriyas. So a person can be different things. And he can be a person who can be by Janma a Shudra, but Gunataha he may be a Brahmana. So Janma Shudra, Guna Brahmana. And he may be doing the work of a Vaishya, Karma Vaishya. So the person can do all that. So depending on what he does, how his aptitude is, how his character is, that person can be classified. He can be simultaneously, he can fit into any of these definitions. Okay? That's what. So Krishna, this is how he talks. So, if he is Janma Brahmana and doing business, then he becomes Karma Vaishya. And in the business itself, what he gets, for example, he is Karma Vaishya, that's fine. In the business itself, whatever he gets, he gives back to society. Makes lot of donation, lot of dana dharma, all these he does. He is Vaishya, businessman. But whatever he gets in the business, he donates it to lot of people, he helps poor people and all those things. So, then what he becomes? He becomes a Guna Kshatriya. He is Karma.